Faithful Namaskar to Longpo. In the current situation where war is erupting along the borders of the country, how should we train our minds? How should we teach ourselves so that we can support and help those affected, encourage the soldiers and officers who are protecting the nation and its people, while not carelessly taking pleasure in violence or harming others' lives, and still keeping virtue firmly and fully in our hearts?
So to talk about sila, or virtue, the firmness, stability of our hearts, which is that we don't harm through our actions of body, speech, or mind. And so the more subtle level here is through the mind. So not having any intentions of ill will. And so this is a mind which has right view, which has kindness and compassion, and someone who has the Dhamma, someone who is a practitioner. So we see that for ourselves and for all beings, all minds or jittas which are in the world, that all of us wish for happiness and none of us wish for suffering, and we're all the same in this regard. So we spread a heart of loving kindness towards all beings, wishing that we may have happiness, to not have any suffering, to not harm one another. So this is talking about our minds. But we also have the duties that we need to do. And so we can give encouragement to those people who are caring and protecting the country that we live in, and that they may have happiness. And we see that there are people who are suffering in the present moment. And they are refugees fleeing from war. And there are many people who don't have any food to eat, who don't have money to buy food for their children. And there are many people in this state. People who are homeless, don't have clothes to wear, don't have these four requisites. So we establish our hearts in loving-kindness. And this quality of metta, of loving-kindness, is that which supports us. And through that, we can support those, and give encouragement to those who are suffering, that they may be free from suffering. So this depends upon our intention as well. And so we can see that we don't have the intention for there to be a war like this, but what we want to do is to help beings who are suffering. And so we can give encouragement to those who are doing their duties, that no one may harm one another. We may all be freed from this harm. And through that intention, that action, that is sila, that is virtue. This is having kindness and compassion in our hearts. And it doesn't go against the sila, because within our genuine heart, we don't wish for there to be any harm towards one another, but rather we have this heart of kindness wishing to help one another.
Dear Longpa, thank you for Dhamma Talks. I was thinking about not self one day and recollected a teaching by Longpo Cha about a room that was full with no space left. But if you remove all the stuff from the room, you can then see the emptiness of the room. I then thought about the things that occupy my mind, like desire, lust, and anger. If one removes these feelings, like removing stuff from a room, will we then see the emptiness of the mind? And does that mean that our very nature is empty space? Thank you.
So the truth is that original minds, they are empty in the state of radiance. But it's the defilements which enter in and cause impurity to that mind. So like when our eye sees a form, for example, then at this point, the kilesas arise. There's a sense of self that comes up. There's lust or delusion that arises. So when the eye sees forms, or there's our ears perceiving sounds, the nose smelling odors, the tongue tasting flavors, and contact with the body, or objects entering into the mind, this is the point where the kilesas arise. And once they have arisen, as kilesas, they come up, they stay for a bit, and then they pass away. And the craving that we have that comes up, that stays for a bit, and that also passes away. But when there's this contact again, the defilements arise again. They arise, they come up, and then they pass. And as this happens day after day, then we're able to see as a heart which is inundated with defilement. And so each time that happens, that there's sense contact, we're not able to control the mind. And then we get the feeling that our heart is just filled with defilement. And so it's like a room where there's no empty space at all. And that room is completely cluttered, filled with all different kinds of things. And so it's like the heart, which doesn't have any space in it at all. But when we come to train our minds, and so we have our bodies and our speech in a state of sila, of virtue, that there is samadhi in the mind, we have our mindfulness established in the present moment, you see that this opposes the defilements. And then when there is this sense contact again, that when any of our sense organs meet with the sense objects, we have mindfulness over at that time, then the defilements aren't able to arise at that time, which is that we're extracting some of the defilements out. And then when our samadhi grows, and so we are able to contemplate then, and we can see how these defilements, they pull the mind into attaching and giving rise to me and mine within the heart. And then when we see that clearly, then we're able to pull these defilements or extract them out of the mind once more, which is that we have knowledge at that point. We're able to see this kind of not-self nature there. But then when the mind attaches once more, we have this sense of self once more. We're able to contemplate again and extract that from the mind again. And so this happens each time. And as we do that, then our wisdom grows, the radiance of the mind grows. And just inherent in this is the destruction of darkness and delusion in the heart. And then the defilements get less and less. And so it's like there's this fight going on between these two sides. So the way that you have understood this teaching is correct. And we should try to maintain our mindfulness, having that mindfulness looking over the mind, and bringing it into a state of goodness. And so it's just like, say, in a home, we have one chair that's there. And if anyone comes in and sits on that chair, then we know who that is, which is that we have mindfulness established over our minds, knowing all the things which enter into our minds. If the defilements come up, then we know them. And so we just carry on doing this, carry on extracting, knowing the defilements and extracting them in this way until we become very skilled at this. And then at this point, we're able to meet with true emptiness.
Dear Longpa Anand, may I know why tears will roll down uncontrollably Whenever I attend the virtual session on the Asalahabucha Visakh Day, when you led us to offer the light and incense to the Lord. Deep down within me, I feel a strong sense of connection to the Triple Gems. It seems like I could be leading a monastic life in the past. I have the urge to go forth from a homeless life from time to time, but due to my life stage and family commitments, I am striving my best to walk the middle path to take care of my family. I would really like to attain the stream this lifetime. Thanks, Longpor, for your guidance.
So firstly, I'd like to express the joy that I find in you joining the Asalaha Bhuja ceremony online with us, so that you have this peace in your mind, which arose through the sattā, so the belief, conviction, the faith you have firmly in the Triple Gem. And so when you recollect the Triple Gem and lead your heart into this homage with faith into the goodness of the Buddha, the Buddha's purity, his compassion and his wisdom, recollects the Dhamma, the teachings which the Buddha has taught well already, the teaching that he gave to Venerable Anya Kondanya, which in turn led to the arising of the Sangha in the Buddha Sasana and made the Triple Gem complete in this world. And see that the wheel of Dhamma, which was set forth on that day, is still turning until this present moment. And so through recollecting like this, then joy can arise in the heart. And there are these five kinds of joy. And so there is the tears flowing down through this rapture. If we feel sad, then there can also be tears flowing as well. But what your experience was this fullness of heart, a great joy of heart, a peace which went deep into the mind, and this is rapture. And there are other manifestations as well. Perhaps the body may sway, or it may feel like the body becomes very large, and there's a lot of happiness there. There's this rapture and this happiness, which means that samadhi has arisen already. And so there's this samadhi dhamma that has arisen, a dhamma of rapture which has arisen. Because this rapture, it's one part of samadhi. So you should be mindful knowing what has happened. There's no need to try to control it. You shouldn't try to stop it. But rather know that this quality of rapture has arisen already due to the deep, profound feeling that you have when recollecting the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. So you should use these objects of recollection frequently and try and do this every day. When you sit in meditation, before you use your normal meditation object, then you can recollect this Asalaha Puja ceremony and how your mind had this great deep respect and this homage towards the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. And through recollecting this, then it's possible for this rapture to arise once more. And we take this itself to be an act of meditation or of cultivating the mind. And this is merit on the level of meditation. And so when we do this, we know that this gives us a real sense of happiness. But we also still have the duties that we need to do. And so we should do those duties. It's normal that when people have these kinds of feelings coming up, that they wish to have more seclusion, to be more by themselves, to not have so many things that they need to do, and that's just natural. But the thing is that you still have this duty to look after your family. And so you should carry on doing that as you have done before. But at the same time, to be leading your heart into this recollection of the goodness of the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. To be reciting Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha in your heart constantly, bringing up this fullness of mind. And as you do this, then this is kind of growing in goodness. And so you should try to do this every day. Try to bring this up, this fullness, this rapture of heart. And if that can happen many times a day, then that's even better. And so you take this to be practicing the Dhamma in your home, to be practicing meditation in the home. This is something that you should try to do. And you have this wish to gain knowledge and attain to the level of Sotapanna. And so what that means is to gain an understanding. So when rapture arises, and the heart is filled with goodness, then at that point you can come to study and find out, and study the heart and see how that which brings the heart to suffering are its attachments. So when we have generosity, virtue, we're cultivating the mind, we have right view, and we know that it's inappropriate for us to attach to anything. And the things which bind our hearts is really the sense of self. And so we then see into not-self and see how it's just natural things which arise, stay, and cease. And even though there may still be some attachments there, there's still greed, hatred, and delusion. But there's also this deep understanding that this is not a true self. And so this means that we've seen the Dhamma. And this is something which is possible for all people who are practicing at home to be able to achieve. What we need to do is to train ourselves to have mindfulness constantly. And then we'll be able to know and to see. And we won't doubt about it. And so don't give rise to any doubts about this path of practice, but rather carry on doing your practice, developing it like this. And so may you carry on, and may you meet with success in the things that you wish for.